In the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, it says, "But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body." And I say this because, you know, here I am worrying about a worship leader. And what are we going to do for worship? But, you know, we have to remember that this High Street Worship Center is a part of one body of Jesus Christ. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. And we have brothers and sisters from other churches that are willing to come and help us. Why? Because we are one body. And we just want to thank you for that. We appreciate that. Thank you very much. We're never alone, even when we think we're alone. So again, Pastor Paul and Kathy are on vacation. Please keep them in your prayers this week, that they continue to get their rest that they need away, that they get refreshed, and that the Lord uses them in other ways and just refreshes their bodies, their minds, and their spirits, so that when they come back vibrant and ready to go again. So keep them in your prayers, please. At this time, I'd like to welcome any first-time visitors. Do we have any first-time visitors? Just raise your hand. Don't be shy. Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah. We thank you for visiting with us. We appreciate you spending your Sunday with us. If you would do us a favor, if you would just fill out a visitor's card that is in front of you, in the pew in front of you, there should be a pen and a visitor card. Just fill that out for us and just drop that off in the tithing or the offering box as you leave. We would appreciate it. Thank you so much. We also want to thank the body for your continued support, both financially, but most importantly, prayerfully. You know, we need the prayers of God's people to keep this church and every church, God's body, going. Okay, so I just wanted to thank you personally for the gifts that you give financially, and most importantly, and most sought after, are the prayers. Fresh Encounter this Wednesday will continue at 7 p.m. So there's no change. The pastor is away on vacation, but we will continue with Fresh Encounter on Wednesday at 7 p.m. And at this time, not that he needs an introduction, but I would like to welcome back Pastor Bob Santilli, who will be sharing with us God's word. Pastor Bob, I was expecting you to run, just sprint up.
Well, I'm past the sprinting stage.
And I will take my seat and give it to you, Pastor Bob.
Thank you. I'm leaving my mask on just for a moment so he could see my big smile. Isn't it? You know, it's amazing to me how I could recognize people just from the top of their nose up to their forehead. I run into people different places, and I know who they are. It's truly amazing. Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. It's a blessing to be with you once again. I appreciate Pastor Paul and Pastor Kathy extending to me an invitation to minister to you, my dear brothers and sisters. It's a great privilege for me to be able to minister the Word of God, you know, because as I was saying to a friend recently, you know, he was telling me how there are so many voices out there. And we were just sharing about all the voices that we hear and how important it is to stay in the Word, you know, to hear God's voice and to spend time with the Lord. And when Pastor Paul invited me to come, and I'm so glad that he and Pastor Kathy are wise enough to take time to refresh their souls. You know, it's important, I just want to say this, pray for those who are in ministry leadership in these days, because there's a great deal of stress that comes in these trying times, especially on those in leadership, but upon all of us. But when he invited me, I knew exactly what I wanted to share with you about, at least kind of general subject. Because, you know, as the COVID-19 trial, test, challenge continues, it seems to go on and on. You know, when it started, I remember them talking about, well, by late May, early June, the numbers will be down, things will return to normal. And you kind of have your eye fixed on an endpoint. And for me, that's kind of easy to do. All right, I guess I could put up with this, being in place and, you know, with social distancing, which someone said should not be called social distancing, just personal distancing. I don't know if that's any better. Wearing masks until the end of May, early June. But then it goes on, and it seems to go on, and you know we don't know where the end is. You know, we look to vaccines and what they can bring, but the dates for those get pushed back further and further. And I don't know about you, but I think it's true of all of us. It has a tendency to kind of wear us down. You know, we kind of grow weary. And God has been stirring in my heart a message of perseverance and endurance. How important it is for believers to persevere and to endure. Now, I kind of look at those as two sides of the same coin. You know, perseverance is where I keep doing what I'm supposed to do. I persist. Endurance is I put up with what I have to put up. I don't cave in. I don't quit. You know, I don't give in. I don't give up. You know, I continue. I hold my ground. And it's kind of two sides of one coin. I believe that's called for in our own relationship with Christ and for our own spiritual well-being. So I was directed to a passage of scripture that we'll get to in a moment. Jesus talked about the importance of persistence and persevering. And he actually, he persisted and persevered himself, didn't he? You know, he set his face to go toward Jerusalem. You know, he persisted. He didn't let anything sway him. And it says in Hebrews that he endured the cross, despising the shame because of the reward. He endured the suffering. And Jesus certainly rewarded it. And so we're going to look at an incident in the scriptures where Jesus has a dealing with a woman who turns out to be very persevering, very persistent, and Jesus rewards it. It's a puzzling scripture in some ways. But I want to put it in this setting. When I was a young man, you could imagine that, you know, picture my hair big and bushy and black, you know, a few pounds lighter at least. But anyway, when I was a young man and started dating my first wife, Lydia, I fell fast and hard for her. But she didn't fall fast and hard for me. In fact, it seemed for a while like she wasn't going to fall for me at all. And it was hard for me to understand that because I'm so good looking and had such a winning personality. And, you know, I'm only kidding. Well, kind of kidding. I really thought that about myself, you know. But I couldn't figure it out. But, you know, here I really liked her. And she was kind of cool to me. But I was encouraged by a saying that I had heard that says, faint heart never won fair maiden. And in fact, I looked it up in preparation for this sermon, and there's no, it can't be attributed, they don't know who said it first, but it may go back as far as the 16th century. So all these suitors who have been, you know, kind of discouraged have been encouraging themselves with this faint heart, never won fair maiden. But that saying kind of encouraged me to not be faint of heart. I had to persist. And I did. And obviously, Lydia became my first wife, and we had children, and we had a wonderful marriage together until the Lord took a home. The value of persevering and of persisting was very, very obvious to me in that setting. Now, in my relationship with Christ, also, I have found the need to persist, but it's kind of different. In my relationship with Christ, I have to persevere in leaning on the Lord. Not in trying so much, but in trusting. And sometimes we get those confused. We try, and when God's calling us to continue to trust. Now, here's a woman who trusted Jesus, and it's a strange account. And I want to read it in its entirety. It's Matthew chapter 15. Oh, but I want to say this. If I were going to have a theme for this message, it would be God grants us faith that enables us to persevere and endure in spite of hardship, difficulty, and opposition until we gain the victory in Christ. But the key is faith that helps us persevere and endure. And if there was going to be an outline to the sermon, and there is, it would be in three parts. First, I talk about the perseverance that persists, then the endurance that waits, and then just a couple of practical strategies for living the Christian life in these days. Nothing new, just things that we know. But what I want to do is look at this passage, Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 21. This is entitled, The Faith of a Canaanite Woman. Now, Jesus has been in conflict previous to this passage, previous to this time, with the religious leaders. And he is doing what we all should do. He kind of took an opportunity to be away, to get away from the pressure. Pressure does strange things to our souls. So he took time to get away, to be renewed. And so he goes to a district of Gentiles. He gets out of Israel. Beginning at verse 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman. Now that means she's Gentile. She's not a Jew. A Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. Notice how she addresses him. She addresses him in those terms that a Jewish person would address him, but she knows something about Jesus. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. Come back to that for a minute. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, Send her away, for she is crying out after us. So when Jesus ignored her, she went and started bugging the disciples. They come to Jesus and they say, Send her away. Now, the word send her away has the force of give her what she wants so she goes away. Get rid of her, but give her what she wants. And then he answered, Verse 24, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. How surprising. We'll come back to that in a minute. But she came and knelt before him saying, Lord, help me. You see how she kept at it? By the way, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said that prayer, Lord, help me, is a prayer for all seasons. No matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, God will hear us when we cry out, Lord, help me. And I can't begin to tell you the many times I have prayed that prayer when I didn't really even know what help I needed, just that I needed help. A prayer for all seasons. And then verse 26, and he answered, now he's talking to the woman, and he answered, It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, is this the Jesus that we know? I mean, he starts out by ignoring her. That's rude. And now it sounds like he winds up insulting her. You know, is this the Jesus, tender, sweet, and mild, who has compassion on the needy and the sinner that we understand and we know Jesus to be? Well, then she answers him. She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Now, it's an interesting thing that the word that Jesus used for dogs. In the original language, because Matthew wrote in Greek, in the original language, there are two words that could be used for dogs. One are the curs, the wild dogs that roam the street. And the other is, that's a capital D, let's say. The other is a small D. It's the lap dogs. It's the pet dogs. And the word that's used by Matthew on Jesus' lips is that word, the pet dogs, because the wild dogs wouldn't be under the master's table. They wouldn't be in the house. You see? So Jesus isn't insulting her in quite as bad a way. I mean, it still sounds like an insult to me. But he's not insulting her in his bed. Now, this woman, she doesn't even give up then. Oh, he's calling me a dog. I guess he doesn't want anything to do with me. Even the dogs could eat the scraps. All I want is some scraps, Lord, for my daughter who is possessed by this demon. Now, I think, comes the answer about what Jesus is about doing. Because up until now, you could say, What in the world is going on here? What is Jesus up to? I heard a pastor who preached on this sermon, on this passage, and in his sermon he said Jesus just was having a bad day. And in a way, that's the reason God put it in the scriptures, is that we have bad days and he understands our bad days. Well, I don't think so. Because the Bible says that Jesus was without sin. He who was without sin became sin for us. I mean, I think ignoring people who ask you for help and then insulting people is sinful. You know? So there's something else going on here. And sometimes life is like that. We say, God, what's going on? God, what are you up to? God, here's this promise, and here's my reality. Why, God? Now, if this woman quit, if she stopped persevering, if she didn't endure the mistreatment, she would not have realized the answer to her prayer. But I think the whole answer is found in the next verse. Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith." Now, it's interesting to me that there's no place in all the Gospels where Jesus says this to anyone else. All the Jews, all the religious people, all the followers that had, he never said, "Great is your faith." In fact, to most of them, he says, "Oh, you of little faith." He says it to a Gentile woman. There's only one other person that Jesus said this about. He didn't say it to. And that was the centurion who came to another Gentile, by the way. The centurion who came to him to have his servant healed. And remember, He says to Jesus, "I'm a man under authority. You don't have to come with me, Lord. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed." And Jesus says, "In all of Israel, I have not seen such great faith." But he didn't say it to the man. He said it about the man. But here he says it to this woman. It's evident, if we kind of dig and scratch under the surface, that what Jesus was up to, he was stirring this woman to dig down to faith, so that faith which holds on to God, Faith which holds on to the promise of God and the nature and the character of God, as she was holding on to the nature and character of Jesus. You know, so faith could do its work. Jesus, what he was up to was stirring faith in her so her faith would increase. And so he said, great is your faith, be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. Praise the Lord. And Father, give us grace to understand not only how wonderful you are, but how you call us to be people who don't stop, who don't give up, who don't give in, who don't quit, who don't hold back, but who keep holding on and seeking your face and trusting you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I guess, you know, don't worry, it's not going to happen, but I guess the sermon could really end here. But, you know, in this church, that wouldn't go over big. In some other churches, that would go over great, I think. But, well, it might go over big here, come to think of it. But I'm not going to do it, so don't worry about it. But I want to look at these things, the perseverance that persists, the endurance that holds on, and then some practical things. And I'm going to do it all. This is a dangerous thing for a preacher to do. I'm going to do it all in 8 minutes. Because I started around 11, I want to close around 11:30, pastorally, preacherly speaking. I'm going to do it in 8 minutes, the Lord being my helper and yours too. All right, so the perseverance that persists. Galatians 6:9 is a wonderful verse. Paul says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. He's just saying, don't give up. Keep doing good, because though you don't see the results, you will bear fruit. You will. The results will come. Now, the danger, of course, and the danger of the kind of the times that we live in, the personal experiences that we have, the fears and anxieties that we have, the economic issues, the disease issues, the impact on loved ones issues, as well as the other things that are stirring up in our culture, our society. I mean, the danger is that we get so worn down that we kind of give up. Now, we may keep going through the motions. Now, I realize that in some ways I'm preaching to the choir, although you're not the choir, but you're people who've come to church today. But you know, I've had times in my life where I've gone just through the motions, and it lost its real power and its meaning. So sometimes we just go through the motions, but we don't have the reality any longer. And so we keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus. We need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. There's a marvelous passage in 1 Samuel 30. David has, he's living in Philistine territory to get away from Saul. That's another story. And he and his men go away on a mission. When they come back, the town Ziklag, where they live, has been raided by Amalekites. There are ites and eens all over the Old Testament, just the way there are ites and eens in our lives. And what they've done is they have burnt the city, and they've taken every woman and child who was there captive. And then in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it says, and David was greatly distressed for the people, his own men, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now, we don't know what David did to strengthen himself. My guess is that he who was a musician wrote the Psalms, many of the Psalms, you know, maybe turned to God and went to a private place and started to sing a lament or sing a praise. Who knows? We don't know. But he did whatever worked for David. And we have to do whatever works for us. Now, I could tell you what works for me. But I'm me and you're you. And so what works for me may not work for you. I was talking to a friend, he gets up at 4:45 every morning to spend time with the Lord. That won't work for me, you know. But I know what works for me, and what works for me, I have to keep doing it. And you know what works for you, to be in the presence of the Lord and to rest in the presence of Jesus and to experience who the Lord is. And you know what? You have to keep doing it. Don't stop. Strengthen yourself in the Lord your God. I've started having a little affirmation that I say throughout the day, just to focus my heart, because you get all this stuff pouring into your ears and your eyes, into your soul. So I have to refocus, you know, through the course of the day. So I have this affirmation I've said. I've been saying it for a few weeks, and this is it. I mean, this is me. This is for me, Bob. God the Father, you are for me. Jesus Christ the Son, you are with me. Strengthener, the Holy Spirit, you are in me. You know, I just say that as an affirmation. I affirm my faith. And what it does is it takes my soul and it redirects it, you know, to God. Well, that works for me. A few years ago, about a year and a half ago, I had knee surgery. And after the surgery, I went to the doctors. He says, "You're doing well." He says, "Now look," he says, "we're concerned more about flexibility than strength. Here are stretching exercises. Do these exercises every day." Well, I'm good at following the instructions. I went home every day, now for a year and a half. I've been doing those exercises, and it's helped not only my surgery knee, but my other knee that I was having problems with, because I do it on that knee also. I stretch my tendons. I sit like a catcher behind home plate and bend my knees all the way down every day, even on Sundays. And you know what? Because I persist and do it, you may not think so to see me walk, but that's my back. That's another problem. But my knees and my legs, like when I was 20, well, maybe 30, well, they're better than they used to be. Anyway, we got to persist, beloved. We got to persevere. And then endurance, well, you know, we can't fold when the pressure gets too high. We got to go to Jesus. We got to trust in him. We got to have what Jesus gives to us. In 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 3, Paul tells Timothy, share in suffering. In the older translation, it's endure hardship. Endure. That's what happens, what we're supposed to do with hardship. We're supposed to endure it. Put up with it. Don't bail out. Don't try to escape. If it's from the Lord, if being faithful means you have to keep in. Boy, it's amazing how fast 8 minutes. I'm going to buy an extra 5 minutes and we'll close. I like to cook frittatas or omelets for the uninitiated. Every Friday, I make an onion omelet. Put the olive oil in the frying pan, heat it up. While it's heating, I slice the onion. You know, I have a certain way of slicing an onion, so the pieces aren't too big, but they're not too small, and they're nice and thin. And I put the onions in, and you know, it starts to sizzle, and then I scramble up the egg with the Parmesan cheese. You know, I add the salt and the pepper. And I stir it around. Haven't added the egg yet. Now, the key to the onion omelet for me is cooking the onions enough. Right? You got to cook them enough. Because if you don't, if you cook them too little or too much, it's not that good. So I stay over there and I watch it. And you know, the onions, they kind of shrink down and they get smaller and the smell comes up, you know. Stirred. But sometimes I want to add that egg because I'm eager to eat, but I gotta wait, because I gotta wait until the onions just start to turn brown. And then I have to get them evenly distributed when they're perfectly perfect, and then I just pour the egg over it, and it's wonderful. In fact, I'm getting hungry. But now, if I were an onion sitting in that frying pan, I'd say, hey, come on. This has been going on long enough. There's plenty of heat in here. You know, it's time for it to come to an end. The onion doesn't know what the cook is up to. But just at the right time, that cooling egg flows over me, and it's just right. You know, sometimes we're like onions in a frying pan. That's the way life is. But we don't know exactly what God is up to, except God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? We don't know exactly what he's up to, but we know the cook. You know what I mean? We know his character. And that's, I think, what gives us the ability to endure, because we hang in there, because we know that God's in control. We sang about that in the worship time today. We affirmed it with our song. Well, in closing, four times, I'm a Baptist preacher. Baptist preachers have to say in closing or in conclusion at least four times. In conclusion, what are some, we're not going to do the Be Still My Soul hymn. We don't have time for that. But what are some strategies for living? Well, first of all, strengthen yourself in the Lord your God. Secondly, cast our anxieties upon the Lord. I don't know about you, but I get to be anxious in these days. I'm a worrier by nature and nurture, and there's plenty to worry about. You know, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, got a sore throat. And my mind could immediately go to a worst case scenario. Or something happens in my family. You know, I could worry. But we're called to care. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 5, 7, you know, cast your anxieties upon him, for he cares for you. I know what to do with my anxieties. Beloved, we got to deal with our anxieties. We got to cast them upon the Lord. And like this woman in this incident, we have to put our trust in the Lord's ability and not some situation or not some fixer or not in my own ability. And finally, on a strategy for living, we have to share with others. I think this COVID pandemic has a way of separating people. It interrupts relationships. We just need someone to share with. You know, we have to... We can't be alone. We can't be isolated. I have a friend. I communicate with him via email. I have for a long time. He lives in Florida, and he wrote me recently, and he says, Bob, he says, you know, I'm so far from the Lord. I don't know what's happening, you know. And he said some things in the email, and I wrote him. I said, I'm not going to answer this right away. I want to pray on it. I did. 4 days later, I answered him. I says, you know, I just want to encourage you to do three things. Meditate on Psalm 51, 10 to 13. Memorize it. Meditate on it for 2 weeks, as much as you can through each day. That's where it says, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. You know? And then I said to him, the other thing that I would suggest that you do is you guard your time with the Lord every day. Make it the most important thing you do every day. And the third thing I said, because this brother is isolated, I says, pray to God to send you someone, not a woman, to send someone that you could share your heart with and pray for, and who will share his heart with you and pray for you. You know, we got to do something. You know, in AA, the saying is one day at a time. One day at a time. We can't, you know, just kind of go ahead and try to do everything that we can and worry about tomorrow. We got to put our trust in the Lord. We got to reach out to people. And you know, I see that just that there's more. These are days of opportunity for us, beloved. May God give us grace to be like that Gentile woman who persists, who perseveres. And may we be commended by the Lord for our great faith, because he enables us to do what we can never do ourselves. Let's never quit. Let's never give up. Let's persevere. Let's endure, because our victory is sure. Let's pray. Lord God, give us grace as your people to stay close to you always, for you are close to us always. You never leave us. You never forsake us. God, you are for us. Jesus, you are with us. Spirit, you are in us. And we thank you. Amen.